Saints of God, please turn with me to Lord's Day number 18 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, which is found on page 28. It's like 29. Lord's Day 18, talking about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please respond to the questions. What benefit do we receive from Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Second, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, that he sends his Holy Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. Why is it added and sits at the right hand of God? Because Christ descended into heaven for this end, that he might there appear as the head of his church, by whom the Father governs all things. Saints of God, does it comfort you when you confess that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do we give much thought to the ascension of Jesus, other than the fact that it happened along with his death and resurrection? It's important to meditate on the finished work of Christ. I'm not going to deny that. That's the whole basis of our justification, how we are made right with God, about his perfect sacrifice that has made full atonement of all our sin, about his perfect righteousness he has obtained and placed on our account by faith. The resurrection is the definitive period of Jesus' words, "It is finished." Nothing can undo what Christ has already done for us. But the ascension, beloved in Christ, the ascension tells us about what Christ is doing today and what he continues to do on behalf of his church with the authority that's currently in his hands. The first thing we have to realize is that as of today, as of 2022, the God-man Jesus Christ advocates for his people. The advocate is someone who stands up for the person they represent. Everything that they do is done with their best interest in heart. In a perfect world, every person with authority should advocate for the people they are serving, right? People like doctors or nurses for their patients, or church officers for their congregation, or parents for their children. Each of those people have a particularly God-given responsibility to help those who are in need. But of course, we don't live in a perfect world. What if the advocate fails to act selflessly? What if they don't really know what's for their best? What if they make the wrong decision? And I'm sure you can think of good or bad examples of advocates in your life. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, your Redeemer, has the authority, compassion, and wisdom with no corruption to forever champion, to be the champion for his bride, the church. When you feel the weight of guilt when accused of sin, the Bible says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." That's what Paul says. His ministry as our high priest continues as long as he is alive, as he is ascended, as long as he sits at the right hand of his Father to help us in our time of need. When your own conscience accuses you, when our enemies accuse you, tells you of all the things you've done wrong, the Bible says you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And it's not as though all those accusations are always false. The devil may be the father of lies, but he is crafty enough to use partial truths to make it seem like it's the whole truth. We're sinners, and we deal with the consequences of our sin. But Christ, our advocate, not only knows of our sin, he has made an end to our sin. And we know that on the basis of what he has done, on the basis of his, and on the basis of his continued ministry that he holds for us today, he is our advocate. And Christ's advocacy for his church is so perfect that he will ensure that we will be where he is. In fact, Jesus prays for his church, as we see in his high priestly prayer in John 17, where he says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." Paul says that consider yourself seated where Christ is already seated. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul says your life is hidden with Christ in God, and that we will appear with him in glory. This ought to comfort us when we feel afraid, when we feel uncertain, when we feel lost. Set your mind on the reality that Christ guarantees that you will be where he is today. For us who are in Christ, we experience his continued ministry because he is ascended. He sends us his Holy Spirit so as to remain with us to the end of this age. His body may be in heaven, but through his Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that he is not absent from us for even a moment. The Holy Spirit who dwells with us every moment while we are on this earth serves to bring us Christ until we see Christ face to face. He is our seal, the Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee that Christ's mission will not fail. Because Christ is ascended, he is our perfect advocate who will not allow our sin, he will not allow our enemies to triumph over us. Amen? Amen. Let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 18 with that.